Welcome, friends. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. If you happen to hear some funny noises going on behind me or over my shoulder today, you will be gratified to know that the library has reopened and people are just overjoyed to be back in the building. So those might be the funny noises you hear through this service today. Together, let's light our candles, recognizing Jesus, the light of the world, who has come and still comes to seek the lost and save us all through his merciful forgiveness. You'll also see that today is a communion day. If you have not already prepared the elements, feel free right now to pause this recording to go and get those ready. Would you pray with me? Holy, sovereign Lord, in your goodness and mercy, you call us out of our four walls and out into the mission field. We feel completely unprepared, but are thankful that you walk with us, guiding and leading us in the power of your Holy Spirit. Help us to know your voice and your will as we seek to be your people of grace in this fallen world. In the glorious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
So the scripture reading today is initially a very puzzling parable, which I'm confident Diane will clarify for us, or at least for me. When I was reading it, it made me wonder what the landlord had done to make the tenants do what they did. But maybe, just maybe, they took the landlord for granted, and there was no real reason for doing what they did. And that's the message in today's prayer of confession. So if you join me in that particular prayer. Lord Jesus, you have entrusted us with so much. You have entrusted us to care for this beautiful earth, and yet we have neglected and even abused it. You have trusted us to care for people with love and grace, and yet too often we have remained indifferent to them. You have trusted us with the gift of our faith, and at times we have neglected to nurture it so that it might grow. Merciful and gentle God, forgive us these sins, and through the sacrifice of your Son, lead us to the fullness of everlasting life. In his name we pray. Amen.
Friends, in God's kingdom, all are loved for who they are, not for what they do. In God's kingdom, all are forgiven for what they do and even for what they don't do. And in God's kingdom, all are welcomed and fed by God's grace and hope. So as we come together in this moment, we come as people who are forgiven, who are loved, and who are sent forth, for we are not far from God's kingdom. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen. Friends, from the place where you are worshiping together, I invite you, if you are gathered with others, to share with them the peace of Christ. And may I say to you now, may the peace of Christ be with you all.
Good morning. This morning's reading is taken from the book of Matthew, beginning in chapter 21, verse 33 through 46. And I am reading from the Revised Standard Version. Hear another parable. There was a householder who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it and dug a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to tenants and went into another country. When the season of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the tenants to get his fruit, and the tenants took his servants and beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did the same to them. Afterward, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and have his inheritance." And they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. When therefore the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and let out the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the fruits in their seasons." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The very stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner, and this was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes'? Therefore I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a nation producing the fruits of it." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking about them. But when they tried to arrest him, they feared the multitudes because they held him to be a prophet. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.
On days that we share communion, we also say one of the creeds that are the founding documents of our faith. So, church, would you pray with me the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Before I begin my message today, I want to just take a moment to thank you all for the love and the support and the prayers that you have expressed since my mom's passing. I have truly sensed that I have been blanketed in your prayers in these past days, and so on behalf of all of my family, my brothers and sisters, my children, and our extended family, I want to thank you all for your prayers. I also want to say thank you to Adele and to Fiona for stepping up and covering things so capably in the week that I was off. Those two women are working harder than you can imagine right now, and I so appreciate their willingness to cover things while I took some time. And finally, thank you also to Reverend Foster Freed for so quickly and so ably stepping in to bring us the two messages for the last two Sundays. Foster, we are truly blessed to have you amongst us. I'm happy to step back in this week as we continue to pursue our goal this fall of exploring how we are called to be God's people, living and exemplifying what it is like to live life with God. So far this fall, we have considered our call to be people who know that we have been blessed with abundant mercy and grace from God, and so people who share those same gifts freely with others. We've also seen how vital it is that we be a people who give Jesus the authority to guide our living each day. Well, today we have come to another of Jesus' parables. He does a lot of teaching in parables in this part of Matthew's gospel. This is, as Foster suggested last week, a particularly tough one because Jesus is pretty in your face with it. It's a parable about some tenants who rent a vineyard and then go to great and even wicked lengths to try to keep the owner from collecting his share of the harvest. This story actually held a not so gentle message for the chief priests and the teachers of the law who were at the temple that day. And as Foster so ably reminded us last Sunday, it holds the same for those of us who are now trying to follow Jesus and to live as God's people in his kingdom today. Now, sometimes in Jesus' parables, you need to dig a little bit to figure out what the point is that he's trying to make. But this is actually not one of his more cryptic messages. In classic rabbinic teaching style, Jesus concluded the parable by asking those leaders what they thought the owner of the vineyard would do about those wayward tenants. And they got it right away. They said he'll put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time. Jesus confirmed to them that that interpretation was in fact bang on. And then he pointedly applied it to them, saying, "Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom." The moral of the parable was clear to them. If the tenants wouldn't produce fruit for the owner, then the owner would find some other ones who did. And that's what I find so interesting about this whole episode. As those leaders looked at this parable, they could see the lesson clearly for the tenants. Their difficulty was in seeing how it applied to their own lives. You remember that these are priests and teachers, people whose vocation was to help the people of God live into the calling God had given them, to love God, to love others, to be people who knew themselves to be blessed by God and blessed for the purpose of being a blessing to others and to our world. The people's mission was to show the world what the life God has for us is really like and how we can find that life for ourselves. And their teacher's job, their call, was to guide them in living out that mission. Jesus could tell that something had gone awry. Just the day before this, as he'd come into the temple courts, he'd come face to face with the problem. The incident of him turning over the tables in the temple is well known. But that same day, there was actually another, somewhat less dramatic encounter that probably, I suspect, grieved him just as much. He'd been healing some people who were blind and lame. And the children watching could see that God was at work in what he was doing. And so they were running around the temple, shouting their praises, "Hosanna to the Son of David!" But the priests and the teachers somehow couldn't or wouldn't see what the children saw. Instead of being amazed at the power of God restoring people's lives, the text tells us that they grew indignant. They watched Jesus healing and bringing wholeness to people who had been burdened with terrible things. But somehow they couldn't see that it was God who was working, bringing life through those healings. All they could see was a young, upstart rabbi who appeared to be breaking all of the rules and was trotting on their turf. So instead of delighting in God, They resented Jesus and what he was doing. And you remember, Foster reminded us a couple of Sundays ago that resentment can be toxic in the life of faith. It can distract us from the beauty of God and God's ways. So Jesus can see the problem clearly, that those leaders' own self-interest had distracted them from the mission God was calling them to. He launched into three parables in quick succession, each one attempting to tackle the problem. Today's reading is the second of those three lessons Jesus told them as he was trying to get through to them. And in this parable, we hear that those tenants actually began understanding clearly that they were tenants and the harvest from the vineyard would be the owners. But somewhere along the line, something shifted for them so that they couldn't see things that way anymore. They wanted the harvest for themselves, so much so that when the time came, they actively and violently tried to thwart the owner's attempt to claim what was truly his. Their self-interest had skewed their thinking and blinded them to their original calling, to produce fruit for the vineyard owner. Well, this is a dramatic story. We hear all of the violence in it, and I know I found myself maybe hoping a bit that this is one of those stories that Jesus is just exaggerating beyond reality to try to make a point. He had a habit of doing that sometimes in parables. After all, what tenants would possibly think that it was a good plan to kill the vineyard's owner, that that would somehow make the vineyard owner surrender the vineyard to them? It all sounds a bit preposterous when you think about it that way. Until we remember that Jesus told this parable just a few days before he faced his own crucifixion. Friends, self-interest can be a very dangerous thing for anyone. For people of faith, it is particularly problematic because it can blind us to God's presence and God's leading in our lives. Even worse, as this parable reminds us, it can sabotage our ability to live out our true calling to be God's blessing people whose lives do bear fruit. But the good news is that as powerful as a problem self-interest may be, it is no match for Jesus. He saw it clearly for what it was. And in his wisdom, he knew exactly what he was going to do about it just a few days later on the cross. Our selfishness and our self-interest does have the potential to keep us from discovering the life God has for us. But in an interesting and not unrelated twist, Jesus' own act of selflessness, giving his own life for us, that actually made the way to restore us to the life God is longing to give all of us. And that's actually the key in this. We don't find the abundant, beautiful life we all long for by trying to snatch it for ourselves from God's hands, like those tenants who tried to snatch the harvest from the vineyard owner. We actually find the life we long for by following Jesus' lead, by letting go and surrendering ourselves, letting God take the lead in our lives. Those tenants forgot that they were tenants, and when that happened, things got out of whack. That can happen for us too. Despite what you may have heard, life isn't found by putting ourselves and our interests first. But rather, it comes as we shift our focus from ourselves towards God and towards others. We are God's people, and we are meant to bear fruit in our lives. And by God's design, that fruit comes as we live remembering that we are not gods ourselves, but rather we are the people of God, people blessed and beloved, people who live our lives loving God and loving others. Amen.
Good morning. Please pray with me as I present some thanksgivings and some requests of the God who loves us and always hears us. Let's pray. Lord God, we give you thanks for so many things in our lives. Thank you for this amazing summer and last week's continued sunshine and warmth. You surround us with such beauty. Thank you for holding us in your palm, for providing calm when we are uncertain and anxious. Thank you for the leaders you've raised up during these times in our churches, our community, and in our governments. Thank you for all who have worked to meet our needs so we can live our lives. Thank you for the work of Reverend Diane and Reverend Foster. Thank you for Dr. Henry. Thank you for all the care workers who are once again being asked to step up and minister to the sick as COVID case numbers rise. Thank you for all essential workers who continue to make our lives so easy to live. And thank you for the efforts of those who work to develop and test a vaccine for this virus. Lord God, we pray to you for Canada and our community. Give wisdom to our politicians and public health officers. Bless those who run businesses that struggle to stay open while protecting us and their staff. Continue to teach us the importance of patience and kindness, and encourage us to find a way to help those around us who need a word, a deed, or simply a caring touch. We pray for unity, wisdom, and fairness among the leaders of the world as they make decisions about how to manage this pandemic, the environment, and the economy. Give all leaders the kind of judgment needed to distribute vaccines effectively and with equity. We pray to you, God, for wisdom as we elect a new provincial government this month. And we pray for our neighbors in the USA as they elect their next president. Please let peace and grace pour over the USA. And God, we pray for protection for all our students, teachers, and administrators as the school year moves forward, step by step, moment by moment. Continue to open our hearts to the suffering and needs of others. We pray for all those who are sick or grieving. As the weather gets colder and wetter, we pray for a permanent solution for a shelter for those without a roof to sleep under, without heat for warmth, without a reliable source of food. move the hearts of those that believe that persons of color, those of other faiths, those of other genders, and the poor are lesser. They are not. In your eyes, God, they are all your people and to be honored and respected. We offer these prayers with a certain knowledge that you are God, the everlasting, the beginning and the end, the creator of all things. Amen.
Friends, welcome to Jesus' table. The Lord be with you, and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to God. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. For you, Creator God, the valleys laugh and sing, and the trees of the field clap their hands. Your earth summons us to break silence and be one with the song of creation. We give you thanks and praise. For you, God of all, the church in its myriad forms and countless languages honors its Savior. Millions upon millions invite us to be one with them in the drama of worship. We give you thanks and praise. In heaven, beyond our seeing, the angels and saints are caught up in song, and those we have loved and lost are part of the great company. They call us to be one with the harmony of heaven. We give you thanks and praise. So gladly we join our voices to those of earth, sea, and sky in the universal hymn of praise which echoes through time and eternity. Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Come now, O Christ, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh, forever bound to us in promise and mystery. Breathe your spirit on us and on this bread and wine. Let them become for us the seal and sign of your love, healing, redeeming, making us whole. And through them, let us together become for you your body, loving the world as God loves, serving its people as God wills, and always being transformed until we and all humanity resemble the one whose food we now share. As Jesus broke bread, we break this bread. And as Jesus shared wine, we share this cup. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Give us your peace. Now would you join me in saying together the prayer Jesus has taught us? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Friends, this is the body of Christ, and it was broken for you. And this is the blood of Christ, and it was poured out for you. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, Jesus has invited you to this holy table. And so from wherever you are, let's join together now to consume this holy food through which God comes to us, through which we come to God. Now, will you join me in saying together our prayer after communion? Jesus, we have been guests at your table. We ask now that you would come to us wherever we go and be present with us in all that we share. Summon in us those you have fed, a generosity of spirit, so that with you we might ensure that all the hungry are nourished and the earth's barren places are fertile with food, faith, hope, and love. Amen.
So this is the expression of gratitude for the offering and the offertory prayer. Can you please join me in it? Loving God, bless these gifts and those who have made them possible by sharing their bounty. Accept them as symbols of our commitment to use all that we have to your glory. We pray and offer them in Jesus' name and for the sake of his loving, healing work in this world. Amen.
A couple of announcements for this week before we have the blessing. The first is that you may have heard that I think Fiona mentioned it in her opening remarks, that the library is reopening one morning a week. So the library is open on Tuesday mornings from 9 a.m. until noon. If you want to come down to the church and check out some books to do some reading, you are welcome to do so. There will be instructions when you get here on how we do that in safe ways, but Carol would love to help you to find some books to whet your appetite and nourish your soul. As well as we announced last week, we have added a part to our homepage where we would love to hear from you, whether you would like to contact us or give us some feedback, or if you have a prayer request, where in our in-person services you might have gone for prayer after the service with someone. If you have something that you would like someone to pray with you about, you can go to the homepage on our website, scroll down to the Let's Connect section, and put your prayer request in there, and it will go in confidence to the people on our after-service prayer ministry team who will faithfully pray with you and for you about that. And basically, we just need you to watch the announcements. There's lots going on and lots of news, and we're not going to do them all as announcements here at the end of the service. So keep an eye on the announcements that get emailed out each Thursday for what you need to know for anything new coming up. And there will be some new things coming up this fall. So keep your eye on that, and we hope to connect with you further. Friends, go now in peace, doing what God wills, following where Christ calls, and praying for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And may the blessing of God, who is Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, rest on you today and remain with you always. Amen.